And so it begins. 31 weeks. In 6 days, God created from nothing everything. Everything. I mean, he made the earth. He made the heavens. He made day and night. He gave the earth an atmosphere. He made the land and the sea. He made every kind of green plant on this earth, every kind of tree, every kind of bush, every kind of flower we see, every kind of fruit tree we can eat from, every kind of vegetable plant we can eat from. Beyond earth, he made every planet. He made every moon. He made every star. He made every type of animal. Every type of animal that's under the sea. Every type of animal that's in the air. And every type of animal that's on the ground. God made life. He made life and he said, it is good. And then he made human life. He made humans in his very likeness. And God said what? It is what? Very good. It is very good. In 6 days, God says, here is life. I bring life. God starts the whole story off by opening this up, showing us he is the life bringer, the life giver. He is life. He brings life. He's the source of life. He's the creator of life. He's the beginning of life. Life was and is God's thing. It's what God does. Life was his idea. It came out of God's head. It came out of his imagination. It was his engineering. It was his system. It was by his power. And we open up the whole story, the whole story of what we read in the Bible. And we open it up with this story of God bringing life. And I think that's very important to notice. That's how God sets the precedence of his story. That's how God opens up the story of what we are reading. That he is the life bringer. He is the source of life. In chapter 2, we zoom in on the life that he gave humans. We're told that he breathed life into man. He took dust of the earth. I love this. I love how intimate this is. That's found in verse 7. It says, the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. There was life. God brought life. Adam was put in a garden that was full of what? Life. The garden even had a tree. And the name of that tree was the tree of life. It says, and the Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam's job was to care for all of this life. We're told that he was put in the garden to care for it. And Adam could eat from all of this life around him. Any of these trees, any of these trees that had fruit, any of the plants that gave vegetables, he could eat from any of those. Even the tree of life, he could eat from. Here's life. I breathe it into you. I give it to you. I give it to you to care for, and you can eat of it. You can actually eat of a tree that's called the tree of life. And the only restriction was that he could not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God made man. And God needed someone to do laundry. So he made woman. I'm just kidding. They didn't have clothes. Of course he wasn't going to make her to do laundry. They didn't have clothes. They were naked and they had no problem with that. Now, the real reason God made woman is because the garden was just too quiet without her. God created woman because it was not good for man to be alone. Now, that's the actual biblical account. That's the biblical answer. Man needed a helper to help him take care of all of this life around him. And so God made more life. And he gave life the ability to make life, which I think is amazing. He gave us the ability to come together. And we get to that. We're going to get to that in a few chapters. But life can now bring life. When he made man and he made woman, when man and woman come together in love, that love produces life. And I hope we're picking up on this. This whole opening is about life and death. See, something happened one day. The serpent twisted God's words, caused the woman to question God's terms. You will not surely die. All this life. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. And he enticed her to eat from the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The one tree they couldn't eat from. I mean, of all of the life that was around them, of all that they could eat from, all of the fruit, all of the vegetables, and even the very tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the one tree that they weren't allowed to eat from. The temptation was a success. She ate of it, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate also. And now, here's where the laundry part comes in. See, ladies, if this would have never happened, you would have never known what a washer or dryer was. Because after they ate, they realized that they were naked. They had no problem with it before, but now they realized they were naked, and they were ashamed, and so they made clothes out of fig leaves. And they heard the life giver walking in the garden. And they hid from the life giver. Now, in this context, as we're looking at it kind of from this angle of looking at all this life and what God brought, it seems odd anyway that someone would hide from God. But when you look at, he's the life giver and you're hiding from him. That's wrong. Why would we ever hide from the life giver? From the creator, the originator of life. But they did, and we do at times. They hid because they had tried to go about life on their own terms, not on God's terms. They struck out on their own with their own ideas. And now they were afraid of God, and rightfully so. God issues out curses for man and woman and the serpent, and he kicks the man and woman out of the garden, specifically away from the tree of life. And death entered the world. So Adam and Eve came together, and they had children. They had Cain, and they had Abel. Abel took care of the livestock, and Cain, he took care of the gardens. And they both brought offerings to God one day. From their work, Cain brought some of his produce, just some of his produce. It doesn't say anything special about it. He just brought some. However, we are told specifically that Abel brought some of the best portions of his firstborn animals. God looked at Abel's offering with favor, but he did not look at Cain's offering with favor. And so Cain was jealous and angry. And out of his jealousy, he killed his brother. That wasn't life. That wasn't what God intended. That was stepping outside of God's terms. That wasn't living according to the life giver's terms. Cain went out on his own terms. Cain took life. The opposite of what God had done. God was the life giver. Cain became the life taker, a murderer, a death bringer. And so Cain, like his father and mother, made a choice contrary to God's terms. And the result for Adam and Eve was death. The result for Cain was a very physical death with his brother Abel. And so God sent Cain away. As we fast forward through the lineage of Adam to Noah, We're told that by the time, by Noah's time, that all of mankind, they were all living according to their terms and not the terms of the life giver. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the hearts, or every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. Men and animals. My eyes aren't working great this morning. Men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air. For I'm grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, many of us know the story of Noah's Ark. If you read this week, then you were reminded of the story of Noah's Ark. That day, God took all of the life that he had made, and he removed it from the earth because it had become evil. It had become wicked. Because it had gone on its own terms and veered from God's terms. However, there was one that was still living according to God's terms. Noah was considered a righteous man. That meant he was living by God's terms. And it was Noah's righteousness that saved not only Noah, but also his whole family. Noah had a relationship with God. So let's take some notes on these first nine chapters. Today is going to be very, very simple. You want to pull your note portion out of your bullet and flip it over, grab a pen or pencil. And today is very, very, very simple. And it's not meant to patronize anyone. Just starting out this 31-week journey through the whole Bible, I felt it would be important for us to get the basics, to get the foundation, to be reminded of what this whole story is built on. God desires for all of mankind to have a relationship with him. We see that. I was appreciative when I saw that In the Garden was one of the songs this morning. And he walks with me, he talks with me. It's a very intimate song. That's what God wants. He wants us to have a relationship with him. But one of the things we see in these first nine chapters is very clearly that this relationship with God, it doesn't happen on our terms, it happens on God's terms. So let's write that down. This happens on God's terms, not on man's terms. God doesn't say, hey, I want to have a relationship with you on your terms. You walk however you want to walk. You talk however you want to talk. I want a relationship with you. No, God wants us to have a relationship with him. And it's not based on our terms. It's based on his terms. And God makes that very, very, very clear in these first nine chapters as we open up this story. With Adam and Eve, as long as they were living by God's terms, everything was great. They could walk with him in the garden. They could eat from the tree of life. They had an uninterrupted relationship with God. It was unhindered. It was unhindered by shame. It was unhindered by fear. It was because they were living according to God's terms. But when they took matters into their own hands, when they started living according to their own terms, that relationship was interrupted. With Cain and Abel, before Cain murders Abel, God has a conversation with him. And this is a key verse for really our drive this morning in the sermon section. The small group section has a different drive this morning. Same story. You'll get a different part of it in your Sunday schools. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? We need to hear this. He says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you live according to my terms, won't things be fine? Won't things be good? But if you do not do what is right, Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. This is a key verse. Because if we do what is right, if we live life according to God's terms, then everything's going to be okay between us and God. But it's when we step out of that, when we're tempted to take matters into our own hands and live life on our terms, that really messes things up. When we rebel against God, that rebellion, that's the church word sin. That's what sin is. When we rebel against God's terms, when we rebel against God's plan, sin is rebellion. God says to Cain, he says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Those words ring true for every one of us today, thousands of years later. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. The desire to live life on our own terms is always going to be there. But that's not what brings us real life. That's not what connects us to the life giver. That's what brings wickedness and evil and eventually death in its various forms. In Noah's time, we see this also at work, people living according to their own terms instead of God's. See, when man goes along with God's plan, things are good. But when man is not in sync with God's plan, things are chaos. Noah found favor with God because he was a righteous man. He was living according to God's terms. And so we see this in these opening stories. The story of the Bible is a redemption story. It's about God showing man that his ways, God's ways, are the way to life. You ever get stuck in some part of the Bible and you're trying to figure out what sense does this make, or what, step back and see how it fits into that, because that's what the Bible is. It's a redemption story about bringing us back to life. The beginning of the story in Genesis, God gave the tree of life to man. It was there. It was in the garden. They could eat of it. It was right in the middle, and there were no restrictions. Unlimited tree of life buffet. But man rejected God's ways and lost out on God's intended blessing of life. As we get into the middle of the story, the Gospels, God offers new life to man through the tree of death, the cross. Give you a moment on those blanks. God offers new life to man through the tree of death, the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And Galatians refers to the cross as a tree. It was wood. It was once a tree. It became the tree of death. It was an instrument of death. But it was his death that brought us life. Jesus became the curse for us. He died our death on the cross so that we could have life. And then the tree of life makes another appearance. The tree of life makes an appearance at the end of the story. Did you know the tree of life shows up in Revelation? When John is describing the new heaven and the new earth in chapter 22, we're told, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great streets of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. Right there it is. Right there it is waiting for us at the end of the story, at the end of our story, at the end of the church's story, at the end of mankind's story. Anyone who has accepted Christ, anyone who has accepted that sacrifice, anyone who has accepted his death to give you life, the tree of life still exists. God didn't destroy it. He separated us from it because we tried to live on our own terms. But for those who give up their own terms and choose to live according to God's terms, God says, here it is, it's waiting for you. The tree of life. So down the middle of the great city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. It's a great picture. So let's go and write this down then. At the end of the story, in Revelation, we are told that the tree of life is waiting for us in the paradise of God. Tree of life is waiting for us. In fact, earlier in Revelation, this reference is also in your bulletins. I don't have it on the screen. But in chapter 2, when God is writing letters to the seven churches, he says to one of the churches, to those who overcome, you can eat from the tree of life. And so it shows up here in chapter 22. And the very end of chapter, or towards the end of chapter 22, rather, verse 14, he says, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. See, this is the story. It is a redemption story, and it shows us that God's way is the only way back to the tree of life. And that's the whole story that we're going to be spending 31 weeks on. Beginning to end, in a nutshell, there's a tree of life. There's going to be the tree of life, and it's a journey there. It's a redemption story to get us there. So that's the beginning and that's the end, but right now we are somewhere in the middle. I want us to have some time of personal reflection. Where are we with all of this? How close do I feel with God right now? So your decisions to operate on your own terms instead of God's terms, it hinders your relationship with God. It interrupts that relationship. It puts barriers in that relationship. We see it on a very large scale in these stories of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah, and all of the wickedness that was on the earth during his time. So as we take some time for personal reflection, I want us to ask ourselves, what are some areas where I need to follow God's terms in my life? We're all going to have those. None of us are perfect. There's one perfect man that walked on earth and they nailed him to a cross. We all have areas where we're going to be tempted to walk on our own terms. And so today, as we think about this and we think about the giver of life, the creator of life, and he wants to bring life to us. And Jesus said, I came that you could have life abundantly. So what are some areas where I need to follow God's terms in my life? Where are some areas where I am following my terms? I'm going my way. I'm using my ideals. I'm using my thoughts. And I need to surrender those. I need to move those. I need to get rid of that and follow God's terms. What are some areas in your life right now? I pray that God's Spirit speaks to you. I pray that you listen to him on that, because that's very important for all of us. What's keeping me from more life right now? That's how the book opens up. That's how the story opens up. It's life, life everywhere. It's life here. It's life under the sea. It's life in the air. It's life on the ground, coming up from the ground. It's life being breathed into the nostrils of man. It's man becoming man and woman and bringing life into the earth, being fruitful and multiplying. It's about life. What's keeping us from that life? What's separating us from the life giver today? What sin is hindering the life that God intends for me? What sin? What rebellion? What thing am I doing where I'm rebelling against God's ways? What is that for you? What is it in your life that's keeping you from the life that God intends for you? So we're part of the story. We're part of this redemption story. The story of God desiring for his people to have a relationship with him. Are you trying to operate on your own terms? Are you trying to navigate life by your own standards? Because that's going to eventually bite you. Today is a good day to reflect on God's story as we enter into the very beginning of this and to start off thinking about these things to get ourselves in the right position, in the right place, to see how well we are fitting into his story on his terms. What's keeping you from having more life right now? What sin is keeping you from experiencing God's story of life in its fullest? The invitation to join in God's story is there for us all. We just have to accept his terms and not go on our terms. The life giver, the tree of life is waiting for us. He is the life giver now, and we can have life. Life abundantly.